Thank you, Jill, for sharing that powerful song with us. And if anybody does understand, it is the Lord. Even when we can't make sense of things or struggle to understand or struggle to share with others what might be happening in our life, and for them to understand, we can know this morning that God always understands and that God always cares, no matter what the circumstances are in our lives. So thank you, Jill, so much for sharing that with us. I did want to mention that right after the service this morning, if I could meet with the trustees for a few moments, we would certainly appreciate that as well this morning. And so as you know, last week we began to take a look at depression. Understanding or wrestling with what depression is, or at least beginning to. Many of you know that depression is a serious thing. It is, as you dig into it and begin to try to understand it, it is weighty. And I have to be honest, as I've been trying to work through information to be able to pass along to you, my heart aches for those who are dealing with clinical depression. And to know that it is a real struggle for some it should weigh on our heart. June Hunt said in her book, Walking from Darkness into Dawn, we all experience normal depression or the blues. Many of us have been there from time to time. We even talked about last Sunday that for me, even January, February, gray days of winter weigh on me a bit. And I think in the old days we called it cabin fever. Just want to get out of the house and do and such. And so all of us are feel the blues from time to time when life doesn't go as planned, or physical exhaustion leaves us drained of our natural ability to rebound from disappointments. During these times, she shares with us, we can mask our real feelings from ourselves, closing off authentic intimacy with the Lord and others. However, failure to honestly confront our feelings can lead to clinical depression. So it's important for us to be able to deal with our feelings, because they can lead to depression. And that's exactly what we're talking about this morning, is dealing with depression. The truth should become obvious to us. We need to deal with this thing of depression, even if we're not facing clinical depression. There needs to be a certain amount of awareness. And at times we may be called on or should be concerned for another, or even ourselves, in regard to this issue of depression. And I know people often don't want to talk about depression, the thing of mental illness that is in our society, and we should. It should be something that we're aware of, and we do think about and talk about. Because it is a real struggle in the lives of family, of our friends, of loved ones. As many of you know, the effects of depression can be devastating, even to the loss of life. It's a serious thing. And I think there's moments that we should, if not always, take very seriously this thing of depression. So to try to help us understand how we might deal with depression, we're going to consider Psalm 143 this morning as King David deals with his depression. And I believe that David models a good plan for anyone who might be or is struggling with depression. And so I'm gonna invite you to turn over to Psalms 143 this morning. We're gonna look at verses 1 through 12. But once again, I want to make that comment that I am not a certified psychiatric counselor. I'm not a medical doctor. Depression is not necessarily my expertise. And so I'm just trying to translate to you, to give to you information that I have gathered from June Hunt, conversations with Dan Harrison, from the Word and the study of the Word that I believe can be helpful to us. So once again, I just wanted to share that with you as we just try to bring awareness to this serious, serious thing of clinical depression. So let's look to the Word. It's always good to look to the Word. Psalm 143 this morning, starting with verse 1. I'd appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. And we hope those of you at home are joining us as well as we look to the Word of the Lord this morning. Psalm 143, and of course this is the words of King David, the King of Israel. Verse 1. Listen, if you would, to the anxiousness and the desperation in the words of King David. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your namesake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Join us in a word of prayer this morning. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you once again, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity to gather and to be able to worship you. And this morning, I pray for those who have gathered with us here at the church and ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless them and have your hand upon them and their family. And Lord, that you would stir their heart this morning. I ask that you would bless those who have joined us online this morning, that you would bless them and that you would protect their family. And Lord, that your words that you choose to share this morning with us will encourage them and strengthen them and help them. And so Lord, I just simply ask that as we come to your word, that we would have this tremendous sense of understanding like we never had before in this issue of dealing with depression. And Lord, we are so grateful that you have preserved for us the words of David, who can speak to us in regard to this thing of dealing with depression. And so, Lord, may you use me this morning to be able to share your words with your people. May you allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For Lord, truly we need you in this moment as we come to your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would challenge us, encourage us, and help us to understand, Lord, like we've never understood before. We ask in your precious name, and amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come to Psalm 143 and this question about dealing with depression, I want us to take a good look this morning at David and what he shares with us. You can see by just reading through Psalm 143 that David shares some tremendous words that cry out in him in regard to this thing of depression as he speaks about the pit and that my heart fails me and that I'm being crushed by the enemy. In fact, I feel that I'm, in a sense, paraphrasing the word, that I'm living among the dead. And so you can quickly see that this psalm is wrapped in this sense of a depressed state. And so this morning, as we think about dealing with depression, I believe that as we come to Psalm 143, that the words of David shares with us what I believe is a good model for dealing with depression. Not the only model, not necessarily a model that has been set down by a clinical doctor, but has been set down in Scripture and been referred to as a passage dealing with depression. And so we want to take those words and share them with you as we observe, if we can, King David as he deals with depression. And so as we take a good look at Psalm 143, the first thing I want us to recognize is that David is experiencing depression. David experienced depression. Make no mistake about it. David experienced depression. Yes, underline this if you would. Yes, King David. And we have to stop for a moment and think about David. I think this is important as we really begin to think about dealing with depression. We mentioned to you last week that depression is no respecter of person. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what's going on in your life, how strong you think you are, how spiritual you think you are, how whatever you might think you are, that depression comes to everybody. And so we must understand this morning, as we look and observe Psalm 143, that David experienced depression. Yes, this is the same David who guarded his father's sheep and defended them from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. Yes, this is the same King David that took smooth stones from the brook and slew the giant Goliath. This is the same David who longed to build a house, a permanent house, for the Lord he loved. This is the same David, King David, brought Israel into the beginning of the glory years we see in the Old Testament of their status and stature in the world. Yes, this is the King David who was the very apple of God's eye, as Scripture shares with us. And I can go on about King David and who he was and the man that he was before God. If there ever was a man's man, I believe David would fit the bill. He was a tremendous individual who served the Lord. Yeah, he stumbled and fell a few times. There's no question of that. We can talk about all those stories, but to get this concept that even David, the most honored king of all of Israel, still struggled with depression. And if you disagree with me, just pick up the book of Psalms. You begin to read and listen to the words of David. It wasn't a one-time scenario for David. It was an ongoing struggle in his life. Consider, if we would, verses 3 and 4, words of David. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. I could probably stop there, and you've got a clear picture of how David is feeling at this moment in his life. He's saying, the enemy is pursuing me. Not pursued me, and I beat them, but pursuing me. This is right now going on in my life. King David. That enemy is crushing me to the ground. The enemy is defeating me. Lord, he makes me feel like I'm dwelling with the dead. Those are powerful words that David is sharing in regard to his condition that he is in. He says, so my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. David, without question, is experiencing depression. And so as we think about this model that we see in Psalm 143, we observe David here dealing with depression in his life. The first step in dealing with depression is to understand this morning, none of us is exempt. That's the first step in dealing with depression, to recognize right here, right now, none of us is exempt. No matter what position you're in, no matter how spiritual you are, how good a person you are, no matter what organization you lead, no matter how manly we think we might be, or womanly, if that's the right word. I'm not sure that has the same effect. But or how beautiful of a woman someone might believe you to be, we are not exempt from this thing of depression. Second thing I want us to notice in David's life as we examine Psalm 143 is that David recognized his depression. That's a very important thing in the life of David. And often when you come to the Psalms, you'll see that that happens often, that David recognized his depression. So let's look at verse 5 this morning. Once again, the words of David. I remembered the days of long ago. I meditate on your works and consider what your hands have done. You're saying that's a recognition verse, Pastor? It absolutely is. David's saying, I remember when. If you read the Psalms, you're going to find David talks about the beauty of the Lord and to be able to worship Him and how the Lord is all-powerful and almighty and can do anything and can go everywhere and he's always present and on and on and on. And David speaks wonderfully of the Lord. And in this passage, he's saying, I remember when. He's not saying, that's what's happening right now in my life. I remember when this happened, but it's not happening right now. I recognize something is wrong. Because I remember long ago, and I meditate on your works and consider what your hands have done, not what your hands are doing. Becomes very important. And so David recognizes his depression. He recognizes something is not right. Something is wrong in the life of this tremendous man of God. Not to mention that David himself was a warrior. He recognized that something is wrong in his life. And so the second step we see in Psalm 143 in dealing with depression is to recognize or admit. And if you're taking notes this morning, you probably ought to underline this. Recognize or admit we're depressed. That's very important for the person dealing with depression. Too many people struggle to admit depression. They're going to tell you, not me. You probably have family or friends, or maybe even yourself this morning, that have been in this position. You recognize it in their life. But they say, no, not me. You may be right where David is. I remember when, but it's not happening now. But you won't admit to yourself, and you struggle to admit, this is what's happening in my life. And that flows out for lots of reasons. Sometimes our own humanity that brings a sense of pride in our life. My mom always reminded me when I was a child that I would often say, I can do it myself. Even as adults, sometimes we think we can do it ourselves. We don't need to admit this to anyone or anybody. And so often those dealing with depression struggle to admit it. And they also struggle to admit it because unfortunately in our society, in our culture, people have laughed at this thing of mental illness and made fun of people who struggle with this thing of depression. And I'm sorry, that's sad, sick, and disgusting if we ever find ourselves doing that to anyone or anybody. I couldn't help but think about the song, and I can't think of the author, but back there in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a song that was entitled, Don't Laugh at My Pain. People in our culture too often laugh at other people's struggle and other people's pain. And it's not a laughing matter. Because this thing of depression destroys lives. So I would encourage you today to be like David. Recognize something isn't right. And first of all, admit it to ourselves and then to others. Maybe I'm dealing with depression. That's the second step we see in Psalm 143 and in the life of David. The third thing I believe we can observe that David shares with us is that David seeks help for his depression. Not only does he recognize it in his life, but he seeks help. Note if you would verses 6 through 9 this morning in Psalm 143. Once again, the words of David. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring word of your unfailing love. For I put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. For I hide myself in you. David seeks help for his depression. He cries out to the Lord. Listen to some of these words that he shares. I spread my hands to you. That's a plea for help. When you fall down and somebody reaches their hand out to you or they reach up to you, that's a plea for help. David is pleading for help. Why? He says, because I am so thirsty, I feel like a parched land. I need you, Lord. There's just this deep, deep hunger. I need you. He says, Lord, answer me quickly. Without you, Lord, I'm going to be like the ones who go down into the pit. None of us want to be in the pit. David didn't want to be in the pit. Unfortunately, too often we live in the pit. Listen to David's plea for help. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Note this morning, nobody loves you as much as the Lord loves you. But make no mistake, not only does God love you, there are people who love you. We're going to do that again. There are people who love you. Just look around for a moment. Can you do that for me? Just look around. We love you. We may not always be good at showing it or demonstrating it. Notice I said we. That's all of us. But we love you. We love each other. And I guarantee you this morning that everybody in this building, hopefully everybody that's listening online, loves you, cares about you deeply. So whenever that moment comes, when you feel like you're being crushed to death, and I know what happens, those people forget that there's people who love them. Never forget God loves you. Never forget those of us here love you. We care about you. But often those people dealing with depression are struggling so that they forget that there are genuinely people who care about their well-being. I should say, and their well-being too, where they are and what's going on. We mentioned to you, sometimes, you know, we don't notice. But there's also a struggle that goes on with those who are dealing with depression, is that they get very, very good at hiding it. As they struggle to admit, and I should have shared with you in the last point, but as they struggle to admit this thing of depression, they get very good at hiding it. But in David's plea, bring me word of your unfailing love. Listen to what he says. I put my trust in you. Show me the way. This is a cry for help. Show me the way that I should go. For to you I entrust my life. David trusts the Lord here. David seeks help for his depression. He says to the Lord, rescue me from my enemies, for I hide myself in you. No one, underline, if you will, no one can deal with depression alone. Not even mighty King David. No one can. If you're in the sound of my voice this morning, you're dealing with depression and you know it, you can't do it alone. So the third step that we see that David models for us in dealing with depression is to seek help. Is to seek help. David took help in God. I believe too, if we're dealing with depression, dealing with feelings, all those types of things, we need to seek God. But not only do we need to seek help from God, but from family, from friends, from counselors, medical doctors, and maybe even medicine, if necessary. Depression is a serious thing. There is time that a counselor or a therapist is necessary. There's nothing, repeat after me, nothing, you didn't repeat after me, we'll try this again. Nothing wrong with seeking help. God gave us counselors and therapists for a reason. You can say amen there if you don't say it anywhere else. That's why they exist. And that's why God also gave us doctors to help us when we're dealing with a physical or mental or social issue in our life. Now, that's right, Don. If you were dealing with a heart condition today, would you say to the First responders who walk through the door, do not take me to the hospital. Do not let that heart surgeon see me. No, doctor, I'm not taking that heart medicine. No, I'm not having that bypass that's absolutely necessary to save my life. This might be the point where we need to say, are you crazy? There isn't a one of us that's going to do that. I'm so glad that Pat didn't break a bone when she fell yesterday, but I'm so glad that when Pat did fall, not that she fell, Pat, if you're listening, that's not what I meant, but that you were willing to go to the doctor and get that fixed. Yet when it comes to this thing of depression, there's this stigma that says, don't need help. I don't need that counselor. I don't need that therapist. And that just isn't true. You can agree with me or not, it still isn't true. And yes, I did say maybe even medication if necessary. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that somewhere along the line they came up with some medications to help with headaches. Most of you know, or at least I believe, I deal with headaches on a constant basis. It's just part of my life. Deal with that most of my life. Some days they're really bad, make me feel really horrible. Some days they're not so bad, but I'm sure glad that there's medication that helps me function every day with my headache. Unless the Lord heals me, Pastor Mike tomorrow morning when he gets up is going to take his medication for his headache and for my high blood pressure. There is nothing wrong with the right medications for the right purpose at the right time. Come on, help me out, Don. Amen. Thank you. I mean, it's just the truth, church. No matter what anybody else says. Because people who say those things don't care about you, and we care about you. Nobody can deal with depression alone. The fourth thing that we observe in Psalm 143 and in the life of David is that David trusted God with his depression. David trusted God with his depression. I want to draw our attentions to verses 9 through 12 this morning. Picking up verse 9 that we shared with you because it crosses over into this model. Verse 9, Psalm 143. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. David trusted in God. I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Yes, that's a depression statement. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. Listen to verse 12. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies, destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. David fully trusted the Lord with his condition, with his situation, and with the future of his life. And that became very important for David. And if you read the Psalms, I would encourage you to read a psalm a day. You'll see David's pattern over and over and over again is that he trusted God with his life and with every moment in every situation. That leads us to the fourth step that I believe we observe in Psalm 143 in this model that David shares with us. The fourth step to dealing with depression is to have confidence, or if you want, trust in your treatment and those treating you. It's one thing to agree to go to a counselor or a therapist. It's another thing to trust the counselor or the therapist that you are going to. Because if you don't trust them, you won't share the truth with them. Now, that brings up another question. You need to seek out, with the help of your family, a good and trustworthy counselor or therapist. I'll be honest with you, not just anyone will do. Unfortunately, and not trying to hurt or harm the profession of the counselor and therapist, but some counselors and therapists will lead you away from God. Where did David go first? God. But we need to have trust in the treatment that we're getting. And we also need not only to be able to trust the counselor or the therapist, but we need to be able to trust the doctor who's helping us to deal with this condition of depression. It's important. Because when that trust level is there, we'll believe that they're doing the right thing to help us become healthy and whole again. David trusted God for that. Now the truth is, in David's time, they didn't perceive counselors and therapists and doctors as we do today. So it's been a little different for David. But I also want you to know that David had advisors and other people he trusted around him. When we're dealing with clinical depression, we need to have people we can trust around us. And so if we ever make the statement, "I feel like this is it, I'm done with life," the person you make that statement to takes it very, very seriously. Yeah, shake your head. That's right. And if you hear that statement from anybody that you know is dealing with depression, you better take that statement very serious and share it with somebody who needs to know. And so this fourth step of dealing with depression is to have confidence and trust in the treatment plan for your depression. Note, if you will, this is a model that is observed and we've discovered in the life of David as he's dealing with depression. This is how David dealt with it. As I read and as I struggle sorting information, this is a pretty good plan to begin to deal with depression. It's not the whole answer, but it's a starting place. And that becomes very important. Because as we close, all types of depression carry a heavy sense of hopelessness and heartache. Truth is, we might often wonder what we can do when life becomes weary and too much to handle. If you've lived life very long, you're going to go through those moments. You're going to deal with some of these. David shares with us, first we should turn to the Lord. And today, in this moment, if you're either here with us at the church or if you're watching us online or sometime this week that you jump in and worship with us in the worship service and hear the message, it starts with the Lord. David shares with us the starting point is turning to the Lord for help. It's a good place to start. And so as we close, let's consider Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. And I believe this is why we trust the Lord. And we start with the Lord. Isaiah 40, 28 shares with us, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." As we deal with this thing of depression, we need the Lord to help us. He's the best place to start. So as we come to a close this morning, let's stand together. I want us to ponder for just a moment things that we have shared with you and that we've discovered in the life of David. I'm going to ask Lana if you would come to the piano this morning. Just going to ask her to play softly. I believe we might want to ask ourselves a very important question. That question this morning is simply this: am I dealing with depression? That's almost a bit of a tricky question. It's personal. Am I? And I hope that you really ask yourself that question this morning. Am I dealing personally with clinical depression in my life? But I also want us to ask the question is, this is a non-personal question, am I dealing with depression? Am I aware of the circumstances? Am I aware of those around me who might be dealing with clinical depression in their life? And so in some form or fashion this morning, we must, and I do believe as believers, as a church, as a body of Christ, making a difference in our community and in the world, are we dealing with depression? I certainly hope that we are. As we take a few moments to ponder that question, maybe this morning. And I was so encouraged last week as some stepped out to the, not trying to manipulate, but as I seen some step out to the altar and pray. Some were praying for circumstances. Some were praying for loved ones. If we're dealing with depression this morning, I believe the Lord is a good place to start, even in our personal life or in the life of somebody else. And so this morning, we may be here this morning and there's just somebody or something that is just weighing on your heart. And you want to step out to an altar of prayer and say, "Lord, I'm starting with you. To deal with this thing of depression." So we're just going to pause for a few moments as Lana plays. And I am going to ask you for a moment just to bow your head. Not be concerned about what's going on around you, but just what's going on in you this morning. Maybe the Lord's just sharing with you, let's spend some time together. We won't tarry long. Just mind the Lord.